Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of Titus with Women Teaching Women. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. In the book of Titus, we have seen Paul, of course, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling Titus the behaviors he is to teach the leaders in Crete, the island where he was serving, to teach the leaders how to perform, and then the others who are watching the leaders how to model. Now, he had given Titus instructions for teaching the male elders, the male representative leaders, how they are to behave. And now he is giving him instructions on what to teach the female elders. And we discussed last time this rather revolutionary concept, which is that the word here translated in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, older women, when Paul says, as the New King James Version has it, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I say that the Greek word translated here, older women, is simply the female version of the word for elders. Elders is presbyteros, and the female elders here is presbytis. That Titus is to teach these things to the female elders. Now, this is the only occurrence of this word in the scriptures, and it's a revolutionary concept. And as we discussed last time, all throughout the Old Testament, men were the leaders. And people like to point to the exception of Deborah in Judges 4 through 5, and yet he suggested that that was due to extreme circumstances. As we can see, Israel was being attacked, their women were being attacked and taken away to support the polygamy of another nation, kidnapped. Their young girls were being kidnapped to become second and third and fourth wives. And the men were failing to protect them, so that's why God had raised up a woman leader. But largely, he always raised up men to be leaders. So the idea of women elders that Paul has here is kind of a revolutionary concept. And so those people who say that Paul was a woman hater or something like that, I think they don't know what they're talking about. And of course, Paul's teaching is not his own, but it's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. But what does Paul actually say about the women elders here? Well, he says, the elder women likewise. So the elder women are to behave like the elder men, the men elders. But he says that they be reverent in behavior. That they be reverent in behavior. And the word there in Greek is hieroprepes. And it has to do with behaving in a way that is befitting for things sacred. Now, it's not the same word as used in the male elders in the previous verse for reverent, but rather it's for befitting things sacred. When you realize that the things of God, you need to behave befittingly about those things. You know, in our society, we like to make light of everything and like to crack jokes and have comedy shows and all this sort of thing. Well, now, that's fine. That has a place, and we can even have, we might say, Christian comedy, as long as we keep in mind that some behaviors are just fitting for things that are sacred and some that are not. And just because it's funny, some behaviors might not be fitting, might not be appropriate regarding sacred things. And so the elder women need to know how to behave appropriately toward things sacred. Then we have not slanderers. Not slanderers. Now, the word there is actually not a word for slander, but it's diabolos. And maybe you recognize that Greek word. That's actually the Greek word for devils. So he says that these elder women, these representative women, are not to be devils. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean they shouldn't have little red horns sticking up and a red forked tail and carry a pitchfork? That's kind of the childish idea that we have sometimes of a devil. But no, understand that the Greek word devil, it means literally a slanderer. And the devil is one who slanders God's people. Remember in the beginning when he came to Eve, what did he do? He slandered God to Eve. He said that God was holding back on them, that he didn't have their best interests at heart when he told them not to eat the forbidden fruit. Remember, he slandered Job to the Lord in the book of Job and so forth. Satan is a slanderer, and that's what the word devil means. So the elder women are not to be devils. They're not to be slanderers. And we understand when it comes to this matter of gossip and malicious gossip, and I've met men who are gossipers, that's certainly true, but typically the stereotype, and I think the reason it's a stereotype is because it's often true, is that women, and especially old women, can be gossips. And the fact is that gossip is just nothing more than slander in many cases. So he says, the female elders, the women elders, should not be devils. In other words, they should not be slanderers. Then the elder women should not be given to much wine. Now that is not the same word as for the male elders, which we had par oinos, not finding them always beside the wine. They and wine are not always parallel. Rather, what this says in Greek is that the women elders should not be enslaved to much wine. And I've talked about the word for slave. It's the Greek word doulos. And this is actually the verb form of it. Doulao, D-O-U-L-O-O. But when you have a double O in English, we always think of it as saying ooh. But a double O in Greek is usually a short O followed by a long O. And you'd pronounce that like when we say uh-oh. Uh-oh, I didn't mean to do that. Well, whenever you see a double O in Greek, you think uh-oh rather than ooh. So it's doulao, meaning to be enslaved, to be a slave. And so women elders are not to be doulao. They are not to be enslaved to wine. And the fact is that that is something that can happen to people, is that they can become enslaved to alcohol. And this can happen even to older people and even to older women. But he says, the female elder should not be enslaved to much alcohol. Then he says that the elder women should be teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. Now, to me, this is fascinating. And it seems to create a difficulty. Well, why so? Well, because when we compare this to the book of 1 Timothy, and Titus and 1 Timothy in many ways are parallel books. They teach many of the same things. I think they're written at the same time, or about the same time, close to the same time. And they cover a lot of the same topics. But in 1 Timothy 2:12, he says the opposite. He says, "And I do not permit a woman to teach, or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." So in 1 Timothy 2:12, he says he doesn't permit a woman to teach. And in Titus 2 verse 3, he says that he wants the women elders to be teachers of good things. So what's the difference here? Why does Paul say such a different thing in Titus than he does in 1 Timothy? Well, a lot of people, especially those who don't like 1 Timothy 2:12, want to say, oh, that was just a cultural thing. It was just cultural that women weren't supposed to teach, and in our culture, it's fine. Well, that seems to me to be a difficult thing to say. Why so? Well, because who is going to decide which of the commands of the Bible are cultural and which are not? For example, why here do I know that 1 Timothy 2:12, I do not permit women to teach, how do I know that that is cultural and not Titus 2:3, that he wants older women to be teachers of good things? How come I can't say Titus 2:3 is just cultural? And women shouldn't be teachers of good things because Titus 2:3 is just cultural. I mean, why is 1 Timothy 2:12 cultural and Titus 2:3 is not? So to me, that's just a cop-out. That's just trying to weasel out of something that the Bible says and not doing it in an honest way. Now, another thing we can bring in is dispensationalism, a right division, and say, maybe one wasn't written to us today. But no, like I said, I don't believe that's true. 1 Timothy and Titus were written at about the same time, and they were both written to us living in the dispensation of grace. So I don't think one was part of God's past work and one was his present. They were both written to the same time period. They were both written to us today. So how come in 1 Timothy 2:12 he says women shouldn't teach, and in Titus 2:3 he says they should? Well, in Titus 2:3, when he says women should be teachers of good things, the question arises, what good things, and to whom should they teach them? And I think we get the answer to those questions in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, where he says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Now here he says, who these elder women, these representative women, these women leaders were to teach. And he says that the people they are to teach are the younger women. And I think this really answers our difficulty. Well, why? Because who did he say the women were not to teach in Titus 2:12? Well, he said, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man or over her husband, but to be in silence. So the people he forbid women to teach were men, and especially maybe their own husbands. They're not to teach men, they're not to teach their husbands. They need to be in silence. But in Titus 2 verse 3, he's talking about elder women, and he's saying, who are they to teach? Well, they are to teach the younger women. And I believe that that's what the female elders are all about. So often we get this idea when we talk about elders, where we want to apply it right away, is to church officers. So we're going to set up officers in a church, and we're looking for titles to call those officers, and we go to the Bible, we find this word elders, and so we apply that to our church officers. And then should our church officers, should our church leaders be women? And so people argue about whether women should be elders or not. But the fact is that Paul is much more worried with the jobs these elders are to do, and who they are to teach, and the behaviors they are to model, than he is to who is going to serve on a church board. No, I don't think that's really his point at all. And the reason he's wanting women elders is so that these women elders can be leaders and examples and teachers to the younger women. Now this phrase, young women here, is actually literally in Greek, new women. These are the new women. Now, what's a new woman? Well, I think that's easy enough to figure out, right? That's a young woman, right? Because she starts out, she's not a woman at all, right? She's a girl. She starts out as a girl. And at first she's, well, I suppose she starts out an infant and a toddler, and then she's a young girl. And then she grows and she gets to be an older girl. But then eventually she gets to the point where she qualifies as a woman. She is no longer a girl. She's passed from girlhood to womanhood. But the fact is that she starts out as a new woman. She's been a girl for quite a while, but she's new at being a woman. She's just reached that stage of adulthood. She just reached the place where she can qualify as a woman. And yet she's not very experienced at it. She's not very good at it. She knows better how to be a girl than she knows how to be a woman. So she's a new woman. And many of the things that women need to know, she doesn't know yet. She doesn't have the experience to have learned them. So these are new women. Women who are just starting out to be adults. Maybe they've just gotten married and they're just starting out to be a wife. Maybe they've just had children, so they're just starting out to be parents. And yet they're new at being women. So they don't know very well how to be an adult. Or they don't know very well how to be a wife. Or they don't know very well how to be a mother. And so he says that these new women should be taught by the older women. Now it's also true that new women in the faith. So it's not just new women in age. The fact is that you could be 70 years old and then come to faith in Christ, and you would be a new woman in the faith. and maybe an older woman in the faith, maybe she's been in the faith for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and yet she's younger than you are in age, but not in age in the things of God. So we need women who have been serving God, who have been believers for a long time, teaching the young believers as well, whatever age those young believers are. But we need the elder women to teach the younger women, both in age and in faith. Now, I think the importance of older people, and specifically here we have older women teaching younger women, but certainly it can also be true of older men teaching younger men. The importance of older people teaching younger people character and conduct and all the things they need to know, well, that importance is one that seems to be lost in our society. The fact is that in our society, we tend to segregate people based on age. And what do we do in our churches? We say, well, the young people, they want to hang out with other young people. They don't want to hang out with the older people. They don't want to hang out with the adults. They want to hang out with other young people. So what do? We segregate them into the youth group. Now, who often is leading the youth group? Who do we get to lead the youth group? Well, often we choose some young man. Sometimes it's a young woman, but often it's a young man. Maybe he's just out of Bible college. So what is he? He's maybe 22 or 23, and we put him in charge of the youth group. Now, the fact is that he's practically young enough to flirt with the senior girls, and yet he is in charge of the youth group. Now, what does he learn? What knowledge, what wisdom does he have over those people in the youth group that he's going to teach? Well, he has some, probably. Hopefully, he has some. He's learned some things in those 4 years or 5 years since he's been out of youth group. And when I think in my own life of how I was when I was 17 or 18, certainly going back to 14, 15, or 16, but 17 or 18, then compare it to when I was 22, 4 years later, or when I was 23, 5 years later. Well, yes, I learned some things. I did. I gained some wisdom. I gained some experience. I gained some knowledge. I did. But I compare that to how much I've gained since, how much I've gained now. And I have to admit it's been a lot more than 4 or 5 years since I was 22, 23. It's been a while. Well, I've gained a lot more wisdom now. I've gained a lot more knowledge now than I had gained in 4 or 5 years between when I was in high school and when I got out of college. And yet the fact is that we want to segregate our young people with other young people. Now in Proverbs 13:20 it says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And too often when the only friends young people have are other young people, that this is true of them. They are just companions of fools. And they're just companions of people who don't know any more than they do. And they go to their friends their same age for advice. And they go to friends their same age for their thoughts. And how are they going to learn any superior wisdom from somebody older and more mature than they are if the only friends they have are their own age? No, the fact is that young people need older people invested in their lives. Now, this is not to say that young people can't be wise. In Psalm 111 and verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And I say that some young person in high school, 15, 16, 17, 18, that some young person who fears the Lord and who truly desires to serve Him, that young person can have learned wisdom more than some person much older than they are who doesn't fear the Lord. One of my favorite verses when I took into college was that, "Through God, I am wiser than all my teachers." Psalm 119. "You have made me wiser than all my teachers." I thought that was true. Going to college and seeing some of those professors that my fellow students looked up to so much, like they're practically gods with a little G. And yet I realized I fear the Lord and these professors don't. And I realized I had more wisdom than they did because I feared the Lord. So I never looked at them as little G gods like my fellow students seem to. So young people can have the wisdom that comes from God. And yet the fact is that an older person who has been a believer and known God for decades and walked with him for decades has gained wisdom that a young person who's only walked with God for a few years can't possibly have gained. And so our young people need the wisdom that older believers, even older than their parents, sometimes we just think it's parents. Now, what about people who are the age of their grandparents? What about the wisdom they can provide? And you people who are the age where you have grandchildren, if you think about the knowledge you have now, the wisdom you have now, versus when you were a young parent, when you were just starting out to raise children, when you were a newlywed, when you were just starting out to be married, how much more wisdom have you gained now than you had then? And I think you'd have to say you've gained a lot. And yet if I also asked you, how many of you have friends who are young people, who are 30, 40 years younger than you? How many of you would count people that age among your friends? Or even friends who are 20 years younger than you? Or 10 years? Well, I suppose by 10 years, you probably have some friends that are that much younger than you. But often, not much more than that. And yet, how sad is that? When we have wisdom in the older generation, and yet that wisdom doesn't get passed on to younger people, because the younger people don't have older people who are their friends. I think it's fascinating, even a book like Anne of Green Gables, or the Anne of Green Gables series, from, say, around 100 years ago, how many older women friends Anne will have. Now, some of them have some quirks, maybe some things you wouldn't want to emulate, and most older people do, I suppose. But still, she learns wisdom from women who are older than her. And what has happened to that in our society 100 years later? Now, maybe you older women will say, well, oftentimes the younger women don't want to be friends with me. They just want to be friends with younger people their own age. Well, maybe that's true of some young people. But I think other young people might be open to older friends, but it's just generally older people don't express a lot of interest in them or in their lives. And this can go both ways. Sometimes maybe younger people don't want older friends, but sometimes older people don't want younger friends. And so I think this is something that isn't what the way God would want it to be. He would want young women to have older women be their friends. And in our society, this is so crucial, where so many lies are thrown at young women. And I firmly believe that the way womanhood is defined in our culture is largely by men-haters and lesbians. That it's man-haters and lesbians who are the leaders of the feminist movements in our country, and who therefore try to define what womanhood should be to the younger women. And younger women go off to college and they see in the course list women's studies, and they say, oh, I want to take women's studies. And who leads women's studies classes in secular colleges? Well, generally, it's lesbians. It is. And they're dumb parents. Oh, here's my college classes I'm taking. Oh, that's nice, honey. Here's some money to help you pay for college. And they're sending their girls off to be taught by lesbians what womanhood is all about. Well, that isn't the way it should be. That's not how it should be. Our older women who believe in Christ should be teaching our younger women who believe in Christ what womanhood is about and what biblical womanhood is about. And it's about time we stop leaving the training of our younger people to people who aren't much older than they are, or to people who don't even know the Lord at all, to the television, to the colleges, secular colleges, and so forth. So in the second chapter of Titus, we learn the behaviors that Titus was to teach the leaders, not only the male leaders, but also the leaders among the women. And the duties of the women elders appear to be largely over the younger women, the new women, whom they are to teach reverent and godly behavior. Well, may Christ's older women be willing to teach, and may his younger women be willing to listen. And may we all consider that maybe among our friends we should include people who are much older or who are much younger than we are, because that's the way God would have it to be.
Just think how different our society would be if more of our younger women would listen to and apply to their lives the wisdom of older women. Whether we are young in age or young in our relationship with God, we need the godly influence of older, wiser people in our lives. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on women teaching women. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the Book of Titus with Things New Women Must Learn. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also offer a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible Studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry at P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.